Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag. And for this week only, get a 110% sign-on bonus. 110% of your initial deposit by using code NEXTROUND. That's MyBookie.ag, code NEXTROUND.
I will give former Alabama great, Atlanta Falcon, and now media star in Atlanta, Mike Johnson, credit. He's not running from his fandom today. He's still got the Dirty Bird gear on, even after a weird night in the draft. First of all, Mike, it's good to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm surviving. As you guys can imagine, the phone lines were absolutely in flames all morning over here in Atlanta. So listen, I'm still digesting everything from last night, man, but I'm doing good. I appreciate y'all having me back on.
I would assume you thought one of your former, Alabama guys in Dallas Turner was probably going to be that guy. I mean, the Falcons needed help on the edge. There were a lot of projections that said Dallas Turner would be that guy. He ultimately drops down to Minnesota, which is a great landing spot for him. But when you saw Michael Penix, when Roger Goodell just read that name, what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, you guys know it was funny. Around the station, what we did is we drew rounds to put reaction videos out. All the hosts were like, hey, what round am I going to get? And I was like, I got the first round pick. It was like, hey, you're going to make the first round reaction video. I'm like, okay, cool. Hey, slam dunk. Dallas Turner, probably, maybe, Latu. I don't know. Something really cool. Not to quote a Will Ferrell, but maybe something really cool we don't even know about yet. The Penix pick comes out, and I tweeted the video out. I was dumbfounded. I mean, I was legitimately dumbfounded. Not in history have we seen a quarterback get paid in free agency and then have another quarterback drafted in the top 10. We've seen successors, right? We've seen guys that have come along and overtaken placeholders, but Penix at 8, when you really, honestly, I thought they were going to trade back. I'm like, you're in a good spot. There's a lot of people that need quarterbacks. You can trade back, trade with the Raiders, the Vikings, wherever it may be. And they didn't do that. So dumbfounded is the word I've been going with today, and just still a little bit shot. I'm trying. I am a positive person, trying so hard to come around to this, but I still have so many questions that I'm trying to figure out.
I think there is some positive to it, but you probably could have traded back, like you said, and still gotten Michael Penix, even if you wanted to take him at 10 or 11 or 13 or 14. But we've seen now, big picture here, success of, and Nick Saban talked about this on the broadcast, of guys coming in like, Favre had Rodgers, Rodgers had Love. There was a time Patrick Mahomes came in, he said. There is a scenario where for 2 years, it's Cousins, guaranteed money's gone, and then it's Michael Penix Jr. Now, he'll be 26. Nothing wrong with 26. I wish I was 26 again. He'd be an older starter, but there is history that this can work, right? I mean, they can work.
It can, and I'm with you. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. I will say that the Packers draft Jordan Love coming off a 13-3 season. Guys, the Falcons haven't been to the playoffs in over 6 years. It's a different scenario. We had people call in this morning, and I've been getting interaction on social saying a lot of the same things, and I get that. But this is a team with needs. This is a team who is about to have to pay AJ Terrell. You have needs at corner. You lost guys in free agency. You didn't sign back Bud Dupree. You don't have a next level pass rusher. You're going to go into the year right now with Arnold Ebikadi, who got, 4 sacks last year as your primary guy rushing the passer. You also lost Ryan Nielsen on defense as a defensive coordinator. That was unbelievable. That did a great job with that defense. Right now you don't have Calais Campbell. So that's my thing. It hasn't been a knock on Michael Penix or the succession plan. I think it's always – I think backup quarterbacks, guys, are more valuable – than they've ever been in the NFL. So that case can be made as well. But you still have so many holes defensively that you would think at a number 8 pick that you could plug in right away and be a difference maker. And that's not what we have. We have a quarterback who, under a best case scenario, we won't even see till 2026, 2027. So I'm with you, man. I'm trying. Hey, the succession, the Mahomes, the generational. I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying to get there.
But here's your silver lining, man. The good news is there's only 12 defensive guys off the board right now. They're still all out there for the Falcons.
Point. Yeah,
it's a great point. And honestly, it honestly made me feel a little bit better that Dallas slipped a little bit, because I was like, okay, maybe everybody saw something that I didn't see when he gets back to 17. But yeah, you're right, man. There's still, listen, Kool-Aid's still out there. There's still a number of guys, you know, that'll be looked at in this second round that are still good players. So we'll see what happens.
So, Mike, you see here, I'm a huge Rams guy. So I love Raheem Morris. I thought he's a great defense coordinator. You know, him as a head coach, incomplete. We're not good in Tampa. We'll see what he does at Atlanta. But ultimately, how involved was he on the selection of Michael Penix Jr.?
I from what I am hearing, it was a huge amount. Loved his personality. And we actually had Coach DeBoer on earlier today over here on 92.9 The Game. And he talked a little bit about, you know, the personality behind Michael Penix. And I think the personality really matched up with Raheem. I think this was 51% Terry Fontenot, the GM, and 49% Raheem. But I think Zach Robinson, you want to talk about the Rams, I think Zach Robinson had a huge hand in Michael Penix. And to be honest with y'all, when I heard that they were going out to work out Michael Penix and Raheem Morris and this whole contingent, I thought it was a smokescreen. And I thought, you're going to look at taking Rome Odunze or maybe one of the other wide receivers in the second round. I was like, you know, look, Michael Penix has to throw to somebody in this private workout. This is a smokescreen. They're trying to create value for the eighth pick. But listen, when you hear some guys that I've talked to that, you know Raheem and know what Raheem's all about, I think it's massive for him to have that succession plan and that long-term plan. And it sounds like both of those guys, Terry and Raheem, fell in love with the person and the player that Michael Penix is. So I think Raheem was very, very heavy-handed in this decision.
Mike Johnson is with us. You can follow Mike on Twitter if you like, at MPJohnson79, at MPJohnson79. Not only a former Alabama great, Falcons Radio Network, 92.9 The Game there in Atlanta. But let's you know, put yourself back in that locker room and be a veteran again and know that Kirk Cousins I think you're probably the best team in that division with Kirk Cousins. So now you're in the playoffs, yeah. And you know what could be the difference in advancing in the playoffs and not is a good defensive player that you draft in the first round. I mean, if I'm a veteran in that locker room, Mike, how hard is it for me to wrap my arms around this and smile about it?
Well, first of all, you talk about putting myself back in that locker room. If I'm back in that locker room, I'm just happy they didn't draft an offensive lineman. You know
what I mean? That's a good point. Good point. Yeah.
I was never in that scenario, but I think it's tough. I think a lot of times when you're in those shoes, guys, you try your best to trust the people in charge. You trust the coaches. I think it's going to be harder to swallow for Kirk Cousins than any of the, you know, the actual vets on the team. And I think you got to remember, guys, this is a team that went 7-10. Honestly, it should have been flipped at 10-7. You should have beat the Bears down the stretch. You should have never lost to Carolina Panthers in December. You should have never lost to Josh Dobbs and the Vikings for the love. Will Levis making his first start for the Tennessee Titans beats you. Kyler Murray's first start back off the, you know, off the IR beats you. But in a number of those games, one sack on the quarterback could have made all the difference. If you sack Josh Dobbs in the fourth quarter on a third and long, the game's over with. If you sack Kyler Murray, the game's over with. Will Levis, a lot of the same things. I think that's the hardest part. You thought you were going to get help at edge. You thought you were going to get a surefire guy to help you and make those game-clinching sacks and plays, and you didn't get it. Now, on the flip side, if you do make those plays and Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell do wrap up, Arthur Smith's probably still in town, right? I mean, Desmond Ritter might still be here. So it's a double-edged sword. I think these guys in the locker room will do a good job, and the guys that we've heard from already, A.J. Terrell and some of those other guys, they're being excited. Kyle Pitts, they're excited. But I think everybody's still kind of scratching their head just a little bit and waiting to see how this all plays out.
You know Nick Saban pretty well. He was fantastic on the TV set last night talking NFL. When does he start getting the itch? I mean, he was talking so much ball last night. He's enjoyed playing golf. It has to be hard for him sitting there talking football and knowing that he's not still coaching.
Yeah. You know what? I coached high school ball for a few years over here in Georgia, and I'll never forget one year we had Paul Johnson come in and talk to our staff and kind of game plan. And we were running a little bit of, you know, kind of option, you know, triple option stuff, the veer stuff that Paul Johnson's so good at. And I kind of asked Paul Johnson, I was like, you, how often do you do this? And he was literally like, any chance I get, I will come in. He was like, if y'all called me tomorrow and said, hey, coach, come back, we need to sit down for 10 hours, I would do it. And that's the vibe I got from Nick Saban last night. It was almost like he was itching to get back and talk a little ball. Like, you know, I just picture him in my head, guys, just he's at the Malmore Athletic Facility, and he's kind of walking circles around the lobby just waiting on Kalen DeBoer to be like, hey, coach. And he's like, oh, what do you do? I think the guy will forget more football than, you know, thousands of people will ever know in his life. And I think when you get to that stage, you love to share it. But I think he's just a coach at heart, right? Even if that is coaching other coaches or coaching the fans on what they should look for, I think he's a coach at heart. I enjoyed the heck out of listening to him last night. I thought he was great.
Me too.
Former Alabama Falcons great Mike Johnson, 92.9 The Game, Falcons Radio Network's where you get him. Mike, thank you very much for the time. Good to see you. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. You have a good one, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Take care. Mike with us on the Johnston, RBCenter.com hotline.